Dear listener, we hope that you've been enjoying the variety of podcasts that we have on our network. Now is your opportunity to help us by telling us a little more about you. Please visit jcastnetwork.org/survey and complete our listener survey so that we can learn more about you and your listening habits. Again, please visit jcastnetwork.org/survey. Thanks so much.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Thinman. We've got a great show for you today. We, last week, said a PSA about an upcoming exhibition of the Leonard N. Simons Jewish Community Archives that's going on today. Actually, it started just now, as a matter of fact, and it will be running until 1 o'clock as a special opening, but will be on for the next 5 weeks at the Wayne State Ruther Law Center, and we'll have Robbie Terman, who is the director of this said Jewish Archives. We have lots of wonderful music throughout the show for you for your listening pleasure. The portion of the week, which we'll discuss in the second half hour of the show, is the portion of Shlach, where he got some good Bible story. Yeah, Moses spies, the whole business. Intrigue, ooh. And that's in the book of Numbers, chapter 12. For those of you who are following along at home, we have a very deep Hasidic story. Some stories like inspiring, like hat. This is a deep Hasidic story at the end of the show. Stay all the way through. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. The Palestinian Authority has asked human rights organizations to help block proposed construction of an underground security wall along Israel's border with Gaza. The wall is intended to block Hamas terror tunnels and will be built entirely on the Israeli side of the border. Imagine. The Palestinians claim that the wall would cause environmental damage and block underground water from flowing into Gaza. If they weren't building tunnels, I guess they wouldn't need a wall now, would they? Turkey, what have we all been waiting for? Turkey and Israel announced a deal on normalizing ties, ending a six-year diplomatic crisis sparked by a deadly Israeli raid on a Gaza-bound flotilla in which 10 Turkish nationals died. Turkey and Israel enjoyed close diplomatic ties before the incident. Israel received the first of two of 19 F-35 fighter jets from the U.S. The F-35 is the world's most sophisticated plane. The Israelis, to make it even more sophisticated, are redesigning the electronics. I think that's cute. The rest of the planes are to be delivered over the next 2 years. According to the annual Anti-Defamation League study on anti-Semitism in America, 2015 saw a 3% increase in acts of anti-Semitism. College campus anti-Semitism was up a whopping 44%. It's now at 90 incidents for the entire year. And assaults of an anti-Semitic nature rose 36%. The Lithuanian parliament, this is actually quite fascinating. The Lithuanian parliament passed a bill that would guarantee the right of return to Jews and their descendants who left the country before 1948. Before World War II, there were over 168,000 Jews in Lithuania. 142,000 or so died in the Holocaust. The rest left. Lithuania is part of the EU, and unlike Britain now, and having a Lithuanian passport would allow its holder to live and move about the entire EU. And evidently, there's a large Lithuanian Jewish community in South Africa that would like access to Europe. In related news, and finally, Vilnius Lithuanian mayor, we call that in Hebrew, it's Vilna, but Vilnius Lithuanian mayor Regimidius Šimašijas ordered a Soviet-era building made from Jewish headstones dismantled. The mayor himself removed the first stone from the structure housing an electricity and heating generator. The generator was built by the Soviets back in 1965, and that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Hey, Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Robbie Terman, who is the director of the Leonard N. Simons Jewish Community Archives here, which is part of the Jewish Federation of Metro Detroit. And we're going to be talking about an exhibit which is going to be ongoing for the next several weeks here in the Detroit area. How are you today, Robbie?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Okay, before we start anything else, tell us about the Leonard N. Simons Jewish Community Archives. I didn't hear about it until I heard you're making a whole display.
Yeah, well, the archives has been around for a while. It was founded in 1991 as a department of the Jewish Federation, and it was around the time when the Federation moved their headquarters from Detroit to Bloomfield Hills. They had been storing hundreds of boxes of records and realized they needed to do something to preserve them. And now our collection has really expanded to collect pretty much everything Jewish Detroit. So it's a really large collection.
Okay, we'll talk about that collection. Who is Leonard Simons, if I might ask?
So Leonard Simons was a really, really important person in this community. I wasn't fortunate to know him personally, but from what I've heard from those who knew him, he was a wonderful man who loved Detroit, loved the Jewish community and history, and the decision was made in 1998 to honor his legacy by renaming the archives for him. Originally, before that, it was just the Jewish Community Archives.
Oh, okay. That sounds really cool. Okay, so now, I actually remember when I first moved. I moved here in 1988, and I remember hosting functions, let's get my mouth working this morning, in the, what was called the Butzel Building downtown. Yeah, it was like really cool. It was right next to the Athletic Club, it was like in the same block of the mm-hmm. DAC, and it was a really wonderful building in architecture. It was like, I was actually sorry to see it go, but, you know, progress and things move on. I could imagine, I mean, that building was built at the turn of the last century, and I can imagine if they, like, kept records and stuff in the basement, there must be a zillion things that were down there.
Yes, there was quite a bit, and our collection actually contains over 2 million documents, 25,000 photographs. So that wasn't all from that building, but as our collection has grown over the years, it's really expanded. And actually, we do have one piece of memorabilia from that building in our exhibit.
What would that be?
So the building was built in 1908. Federation didn't buy it until 1951, and prior to that, a carillon had been installed, and there was a keyboard that played it. When the Federation moved out, someone had almost thrown that keyboard away, and we were able to save it and put it in our archives. So we have a piece of history from that building.
Oh, cool. Oh,
and it's cool. On display in the exhibit.
Is there anything left of the Butzel Building? What is it doing? I don't even know
Yes, it actually is still around, and it is now the home of Grand Valley State University.
Detroit campus. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Their gain. Anyway, so, okay. So you've got 2 million documents, 25,000 photographs, a whole bunch of artifacts, which have been a collection of things going back, I'm assuming, to the 1880s, which is when really the Detroit Jewish community started formulating, even though it goes back to the 1700s and stuff. This exhibit is called 25 for 25. How did you narrow all that down to 25 items on display at the Walter Reuther Library, Robbie?
It was really hard. We spent a lot of time really thinking about what objects we wanted to pick and photographs and documents. And in the end, what I really wanted to do was tell a story. Individually, the items that we picked are very unique and interesting, but collectively, they really show how people, organizations, and synagogues shape Jewish life in Detroit. So there really is a story that goes along if you follow the 25 objects.
Okay. You're having it at the Walter Luther Library, which is a labor, specifically library. And I did notice one of the artifacts had to do with labor, and that was the handbook for teaching people how to become sewers. Are all the objects related to labor?
No, there is a very big mix. And actually, the Reuther Library has both a labor collection and an urban collection. They also collect Detroit history. And the reason we've decided to have the exhibit at the Reuther is because they've been a longtime partner with us. We don't have the facilities at the Federation Building to store all of our collections, so we actually store them at the Reuther Library long term. So we wanted to do something to honor that partnership.
Uh-huh. Okay. You just answered my next question is, where does one keep 2 million pieces of paper?
So. Yes, the Reuther has a very, very large storage area, and they have all those things that you want for an archive, like temperature control, humidity control, fire protection, a great reading room, great staff. So it makes our collections very accessible to the public.
Okay, so let's say, hypothetically speaking, I'm working on my doctorate in Detroit Jewish Studies, and I'd like to go pick your brain and go through your archive to help with my doctoral thesis. Can I do that, Robbie Turman?
Yes, absolutely. We get researchers from all over the world contacting us to use our collections. So, if you contact me or actually even at the Reuther Library, they can help you there with our collections. We do have something stored in our Federation Building, so it's a little bit of a mix. It's always good to contact me, and I can share what collections we have.
Okay. The big thing with libraries these days, especially in research libraries, is digitalization. Is there a plan or in the way that these documents and photos will be digitized so I don't have to go down to Detroit? I can just do it from the comfort of my own computer?
Well, we are working on getting some of our photographs digitized. It's really a very laborious and expensive process to do digitization, so it's something that really not a lot of archives are in a place to do at this time. We're kind of slowly getting into that mode. There's also a lot of issues that people don't realize with digitization. We don't necessarily own the copyright of everything we have, so we can't legally scan and disseminate everything. So it really, it's really a very arduous process, and it's something that we hope in the future to do, but it will be slow.
Okay, let's walk us through the process. I'm going to be heading down to the Walter Reuther Library. What do I expect to see?
So our exhibit is right in the atrium when you first walk in, and we have about 17 panels that showcase photographs and documents, and then we also have objects on display. The treasures are all numbered, so I suggest walking through 1 through 25 because that's really how you are going to see the story the best.
So is number 1 the oldest, number 25 the newest?
No. It's not necessarily in chronological order. I really kind of group things together by topics. But there also is an exhibit catalog on site that really tells the story that I am trying to get across, and I would suggest using the catalog to walk through it.
Oh, it's always good to have the explanation of why this is not just a piece of paper hanging on the wall. Do you have like just pieces of paper on display?
No, photographs. We have a beautiful Torah cover that was from B'nai David. We have a great scrapbook from Velvet Peanut Butter that was owned by Paul Zuckerman, whose keepers we have. The keyboard that I mentioned before. So there really is quite a lot of things down there.
Mm-hmm. So when you're talking all things Jewish, so you're talking, this is a Jewish hour. So I have never played, say, a Bob Dylan song on the show because, okay, he's Jewish, but it's not Jewish music. But this exhibit encompasses, it sounds like, everything Jewish that was going on in Detroit over the last 100 and something years.
Right. It really it really does talk about different areas. I wanted to hit on things like immigration, early Jewish life in Detroit. I wanted to talk about service organizations, about philanthropy, about personal stories, because we do collect also personal and family papers. So that's really what I'm trying to hit, is really all aspects of Jewish life in Detroit.
Okay. And I this is really hard-pressed, but are you somewhat familiar with every item that you have?
Oh, not every item. In a collection this big, I would love to be able to look at every single paper that we have, but it's really just not possible. A lot of the times that I really get to research is when people contact me about a research question, and then I get to dig into the collections to help.
Uh-huh. Have you come across anything, since this is a radio show and we have to like promote our ratings, have you come across anything scandalous in the archives?
Oh, boy. I wouldn't say really scandalous, not that I can think of.
How about eyebrow raising?
Gosh, not that I can think of.
We are such a milquetoast people then, I guess. Wow.
Well, there's certainly things about the Purple Gang, and I know there's a lot of people sensitive about that issue. We do actually have a collection from Rabbi Joshua Spurka, who was a prison chaplain, and we have a box of records of prisoners that he corresponded with and spoke with when he was a prison chaplain. So those are really interesting to look at.
Okay, I would think that would be like really private. Like nobody wanted to know that their grandfather was actually incarcerated at any one given time if it wasn't.
Right, yes. Exactly.
Wow, okay, that's awesome. And so tell us about the exhibit. You're having an opening today, which is today, Sunday, is the grand opening. What's happening today till 1 o'clock?
So we are having our opening reception where we are showing off the exhibit. There's also a program starting at 11:30 that has some people reading some of the pieces in our collection. So, for instance, we have Leonard Simons, our namesake. We are reading a speech that he wrote in 63 for an award he received, and it's being read by his daughter, Mary Lou Zeev. So we're really excited about that. We have a couple of other readings we're doing, and then we'll be giving people who are attending tours of the Reuther Library, because it's really a beautiful building, and just enjoying the exhibit.
Okay, and that's going on today, Sunday,
yes.
Till 1 o'clock.
Till 1 p.m.
And then how long is the exhibit going to be there for, Robbie?
It runs through August 5th, and it's open during the Reuther's hours, which are Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. But we're also offering a docent-led group tours to the exhibit, so people can contact me to book a group tour. And with a group tour, there's a little bit more flexibility in doing it after hours.
Okay, awesome. Now, this is being held. You have another exhibit that's ongoing simultaneously.
Yes.
Tell us about that, please, Robbie.
So we're also doing a traveling exhibit, because one wasn't enough in a single year. That traveling exhibit is called Creating a Jewish Community. It's making its way around Metro Detroit and has been since January. It consists of five double-sided panels, and they each address a different topic: immigration, neighborhoods, Israel, service organizations, and a timeline of Federation history. And every panel is moved to a new location monthly, with the exhibit hitting more than 30 locations in 2016.
Mm-hmm. These are not just in Jewish neighborhoods, I'm assuming, then.
No, we are all over. We've been in different libraries. We've been in businesses, synagogues. So it's really a cross-section. And, in fact, in July, the exhibit in its entirety is going to be at the main branch of the Detroit Public Library, which is just a short 5-minute walk from the Reuther Library.
It's across the street, yes.
Across the street.
Indeed. Okay. Now, something just popped into my head. What is the Jewish? Is there a section on Henry Ford in the Jewish archives?
Not a section per se, but he is mentioned in various collections. So it's just a matter of finding the right collection. But we do have some information about him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was considered, you know, to say the least, a controversial figure when it came to Judaism and his participation in World War II and what he was doing during that time. So again, nothing that was really eyebrow raising, though.
No, just things that were happening at the time, some reactions from the Jewish community, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, that's going to wrap it up for us again. Again, so the details of this exhibit is it's starting today till 1 o'clock, and then Monday through Friday at the Walter Reuther Library on Wayne State Campus on Cass, just north of Warren. Parking is like $6 in the structure or $2 on the street if you can find it. And it's Monday through Fridays, 9 to 5, until August, remind me
5th.
Again?
August
5th. August 5th. And when will the other exhibit be at the Detroit Library across the street?
That will be throughout July.
Throughout the month of July. And then will it be moved again around after that?
Yep, in August it moves to its new location. So, you know, you can always check our website. We always keep a listing of where each panel will be in any given month.
Okay, so the Leonard N. Simons Jewish Community Archives has its own website. What would that be then?
It is jewishdetroit.org/archives.
Okay, awesome. So our guest today has been Ravi Terman, who is the director of the Leonard N. Simons Jewish Community Archives of the Jewish Federation of Metro Detroit. And we'll wish you great success, and maybe we'll bump into each other at the exhibit, Robbie.
Thank you so much.
Okay, take care. We're going to take Thanks. A quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
And here you are, Herschel Fidman, here you are listening to The Jewish Hour. It helps always to turn the mic on before one starts to talk. Yes. Now, for your listening pleasure, Eighth Day, that famous song group, we've played stuff on there from them for the last 15 years already, came out with a new song this week. It's called Inner Flame, and it's just for you.
Oh, I'm on fire. Yeah, I'm on fire. I'm on fire. I'm on fire. Can't tame a flame. Flying through like an aeroplane. Can't pin it down. Shining light all around. Your soul inside. It's a flame, it's from on high. Can't stop the heat. Burning, burning up the beat. Your soul could warm. The cold is hot, so let the fire start. I'm on fire, head to toe. Gotta let it shine and let it flow. I'm on fire, head to toe. I gotta let it shine and let it flow. I'm on fire, head to toe. Gotta let it shine and let it flow. I'm on fire, head to toe. I gotta let it shine. Don't change your flame. Go along with the hurricane. Don't turn around. Earthquake shaking underground. No looking back. Burning, burning up the track. Like sets you free. Above infinity. Your soul could warm. The cold is hot. So let the fire start. I'm on fire head to toe. Gotta let it shine and let it flow. Hey, I'm on fire head to toe. Gotta let it shine and let it flow. I'm on fire head to toe. Gotta let it shine and let it flow. I gotta let it shine. I'm on fire head to toe. Gotta let it shine and let it flow. Yeah, I'm on fire head to toe. Gotta let it shine and let it flow. I'm on fire head to toe. Gotta let it shine and let it flow. I'm on fire head to toe. Gotta let it shine no more. Oh, yeah, yeah. Let it shine and let it flow. I'm on fire head to toe. Gotta let it shine and let it flow. I'm on fire head to toe. Gotta let it shine.
So let the fire start.
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mycosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mycosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Hey, Schultzman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. I hope you enjoyed that. And because I have an eclectic taste in music, now for something completely different. This is Dave Tyrus from 1938. Last one was from like 3 days ago. This one's from 1938. This is called Branis Chasana. Branis is the name of a woman, and Chasana means a wedding. So this is a piece that Dave Tyrus composed for Branis. I suppose it probably was his daughter. Let's listen in.
Someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Herr Schulfinman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have time for one more, and this one would definitely be like the triangle on the way we're playing music today. We started out with something very modern, and then we went to something a little bit on the old side. This is something way out of left field. This is actually Yemenite music, Jewish Yemenite music. The artist is Zohar Argov, who is very famous in Israel. Not so much here, but very famous in Israel. Got a great voice, and he pronounces Hebrew with a Yemenite accent, which I cannot even imitate. And the song we're going to listen to is Sod HaMazolot, which means the secret of the stars.
Shit shamayim al haolam Me'az kabu amayim v'hadam Olemu al ha-muzika shehi yafah V'gam mizaka l'kol ha-chayar l'amadam Olemu al ha-ava shehi yafah V'gam mizaka l'kol ha-chayar l'amadam Lo tuchal adam l'ka'at ואל תבקש ללמוד את סוד המזלות כל מה שמוכר לך הוא רק לצפות ובעתיד הלוואי תתגשר
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Hey, Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week's portion is the portion of Shalach. We got some really good Bible story stuff going on over here. This is the incident of the spies to be found in this portion. The Jews had left Sinai at the end of last week's portion and were headed for the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Yes! When they got 3 days out during Kadesh Barnea, they went to Moses and said, we need to have reconnaissance. We're going into this land. There's people there. They're not just going to pick themselves up and leave just because we want to move in and we're saying it's ours. So we really need to know the lay of the land, the terrain, the natural resources. This is what we really need. So Moshe said, let me go ask God. Moses asked God. God said, no. Moses went back to the Jewish people and said, God said no. And they said, that's preposterous. You didn't ask him correctly. Go back and explain again why we need to have spies. You didn't explain it properly. So Moses went back and God said, listen, I got you the first time. Translation is my own. But if you want to send spies, okay, you send the spies. But I'm not getting involved with this one. Which, that right there should have been like, you know, tipping his hand, so to speak. Probably would have been a bad idea. But it was already predestined because in the end of last week's portion, two people prophesied that the Jews are going to be wandering in the desert for 40 years and Moses is going to die and Joshua is going to take over anyway. So Moses, I guess, kind of like went with the flow. And they came back, they had a bad report, and the Jews wound up wandering in the desert for 40 years because of that. So it sounds like spies is not really a good thing. But yet, in the book of Joshua, and this is actually the Haftorah, which is also read in conjunction with the portion of this coming Saturday, Joshua sent two spies to check out Jericho. Jericho was a fortified city. And they want to check it out. How's the best way of conquering this fortified city? As it turned out, I don't think they really used the information that these two spies brought back. And because Joshua just walked around the city 7 times, blew the shofar, said the Shema, and the walls got sucked into the ground and everybody, fled. And that was the way they did that one. So, you know, it just occurred to me, 20 years the show is on, I've never played Joshua Fought the Battle of Jericho on this show, and probably for good reason. But anyway, Joshua was congratulated for sending spies. Moses, 38 more years in the desert, hello, what's a diff? The difference is, because Moses did it on his own, and with Joshua, Joshua was told by God, send spies. Big diff right there. When we read Bible stories, they're not just cute stories that we can talk about. They're not things that we can say, well, this is part of our heritage. This is who we are. No, the Torah. The word Torah means lessons. So if there's a story in the Bible, it is supposed to teach, no, not it's supposed to, it does teach a lesson valuable to us, not just something that was happening
3,000 years ago and change, but something that's relevant and current to right now. Very often, the people, the characters that are in the Bible, and places that are mentioned in the Bible, allude to some part of our psyche. And indeed, that's true with, for example, Israel. Israel's called the Holy Land. Now, Israel itself is, yes, inherently holy. As it says, Rambam Maimonides discusses that there are 10 inherent levels of holiness in Israel, starting with the Holy of Holies and going out to the borders of Israel with the diaspora. But really, what makes Israel holy is what people do on it. And so when we talk about an analogy relating personally, Israel is our bodies. The Jews were going to have to conquer the seven Canaanite nations. The seven Canaanite nations were analogous, or are analogous, of seven bad character traits. We have seven good character traits, and correspondingly so, we have seven bad character traits. The character traits generally are being kind, being severe, being truthful, etc. And so there are good aspects to these and there are bad aspects to these. You can have misdirected kindness and have it doing awful things. So what Moses was trying to do, which didn't work in this instance, would be to a person to try to change their very character traits. That is very hard. A person's personality is developed long before their intellect. I saw with my kids, Baruch Hashem, I have seven kids. There were some of my kids, I knew their personalities even before they were born, just the way that they were acting inside. And I was spot on. So you talk about nature versus nurture. Yeah, there's something there. There's a lot of nature in there, too, in determining a person's character trait. You can't really pick what you like. Either you like it or you don't. And you didn't decide that. You didn't say, you know, today I'm going to like this. No, it doesn't work that way. There's just something deep inside of us. And that, it's virtually impossible to change. So when Moshe sent spies to go and try and change the very nature of our persona, that didn't work. We're still the way that we are. And we're told, you know, back it out 38 years more. Joshua, on the other hand, wasn't interested in just in the entire Canaanite land. He was just interested in Jericho, in Jericho. The word Jericho comes from the Hebrew word, the noun, smell. Not verb, the noun. What is a smell? A smell is something that's out there. When you're smelling something, you don't have to be touching it. It could be, depending if you're downwind, it could be miles away that you're smelling it. It's such an external expression of self. So if you're talking about now, analogizing that to our persona, so smell corresponds to our thought, speech, and action. Hasidic philosophy spends a lot of time, there's a lot of paper that's used in discussing how does one control one's thoughts, one's utterances and one's actions and take responsibility for them so that we have the ability by changing something that smells terrible to something that smells sweet. When Joshua sent those spies, he was doing a good thing and was recognized as being a good thing. Because really, why are people here? Why did God create people? We're here to work. It says Adam was put in the Garden of Eden, the most perfect place on earth, to work it. It says it clearly in the Bible, chapter 2 of Genesis. So even a perfect place can be perfected more, can become more perfect, until it's the perfectest place there is, if there's such a an adjective. We're here because at the end of our lifetimes, we should be able to look back and say, these are the good things that I did. These are the bad things I could have done and didn't do. And one step further, these are the bad things that I did and corrected. That's really very impressive when a person can do that. Because people will have slip-ups in their actions, in their speech, in their thoughts. But God programmed us such that we can turn a bad smell, which means like a misdeed, into something that smells really good. Like it says throughout the book of Leviticus, a reach nechayach la Hashem, a sweet and pleasant fragrance to God. That wasn't talking about barbecuing meat on an altar, but rather the heart of the individual who brought that sacrifice being converted from one of pursuing mundane pleasures to that of pursuing matters of holiness. So we see, yes, what we know now from this week's portion, the juxtaposition of the story with the spies with Moses and the spies with Joshua, there's some things that are not expected of us. We would like to. I would just love it if everything I wanted to do was holy. But God's not expecting that of me. And I'm not expected to change my nature to only want holiness. I am expected to at least be able to control myself that I only engage in holiness. And that actually is much greater of an accomplishment. Speaking of accomplishments, we've got the Hasidic story coming up really, really soon, but don't go away. We've got one more message. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? The easiest way? Go to my website, rabbifinman.com, RABBIFINMAN.com. And there, right on the homepage, you don't even have to look anyplace. It's like right there. As soon as you open up, the browser opens up rabbifinman.com. First thing you see, contact us. That's what I'm here for. I'm here for you. Do you have a question? Do you have a comment? Do you have an inquiry? Do you have a criticism? Send it off. I love getting fan mail. And I answered it all myself. It does take up a good part of my Monday is spent. I have it scheduled as such that Monday morning, I am very limited on my appointments with that takes me away from my office because I want to direct it specifically to this because people wrote me. If most people actually, they hear something. And if they don't do it right away and they go to the computer, it's very rare that I get something, say, on a Thursday asking me about something that happened on the show on Sunday. It happens on occasion, but for the most part, it's like Sunday afternoon. Those questions are just coming right in. Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, Monday morning, when people get to work and they have sitting at their computers. So Monday morning, I devote to answering those fan letters, and I appreciate every one of them. And I really like it if you tell me, hey, Rabbi, you didn't. I would appreciate if you could do this instead of the way that you did it. That makes the show better. Rabbi Akiva said, if you didn't learn something new today, then why are you here? So teach me new things. I'm always willing to make the show a better thing to listen to. Wonderful. What else will you find on rabbifinman.com? Well, there's archived editions of the radio show going back a bunch of weeks. If you want to go something further, you want to do a binge listen, might I suggest then you podcast them on iTunes, Stitcher, or on www.jcastnetwork.com, where all the shows since we were on Salem Communications, which is goes back to 2009, can be found all in one simple little folder. And you're talking, let's see, we're up to, that's almost 7 years that we're here. You're talking almost 450 shows. 450 hours of your listening pleasure, listening to yours truly. Wow. Let me know if you ever do that. I will actually send you more than just a CD if anybody ever actually does that. You'll also find archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, and Hasidic U-Story, which are insights into the portion of the week in Hasidic stories presented in another manner, other media other than this one. And there's also the very, very important donations page. We're pretty much three-quarters of the way done with June. No, this is like the end of June already. What am I talking? I think in all the 20 years, last week was probably the worst week as far as contributions. We're still trying to get together May. And they're very patient here. They're very wonderful people at Salem Communication. The Jewish Hour has been on air 20 years, and it's a month-to-month-to-month operation. I would love it if I could hand them a check and say, "Hi, this is for the year," in which case, during the last 6 minutes of the show, I could devote it entirely to the Hasidic story. I could tell longer, deeper, more fascinating Hasidic stories, rather than trying to get you to go to your computer, go to rabbifinman.com, go to the donations page, click on a number, type in your credit card information through PayPal, or if you have a PayPal account, it goes bing, bang, boom in 10 seconds. Make your life easier, make it reoccurring so you don't have to do it again. Whatever amount it happens to be, it could be $5, doesn't matter, because it's all good. If everybody out there listening would give $5 a month, I could probably retire. So, but what would I do if I retired? I'd have a radio show. Yeah, that's one of the good things about it. So do it today. Don't like internet giving, I understand. Send your contribution of any amount to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. The previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, when he was a younger boy, I think maybe 11 or 12, was having at that point he was basically having private instruction, being groomed as the heir apparent. And one of his teachers taught him the meaning behind the prayers and Bible and Hebrew grammar. So the prayers, that was no problem. He'd been praying already since he was like 2 years old, who knows. And so the meanings behind the prayers he got in a very short time. This is about Bible. He said he really loved Bible, going through all of the different prophets and the writings, and just really got into it. Grammar, it just wasn't going. Because, you know, what's grammar? You can't ask, well, why is it grammatically that way? Why is the past tense of have, had? You know, you can't ask that question because it's just the way it is. Okay, you can get some word nerd, some geek who's going to tell you because of the construct of the source of where it comes from in Greek or wherever in Aramaic going back, that doesn't answer the question. It just pushes it back a couple centuries. So he couldn't get into the grammar. There is a rule in Hebrew grammar that generally the accent goes on the last syllable. That's called in Hebrew milara, which means on the bottom. And the rule is that if the accent is on the last syllable, the letters are pronounced soft. There are hard letters and soft letters. A B is a hard letter. A V is a soft letter. A P is a hard letter. An F is a soft letter. Things that's basically it's the same letter, but instead of just like doing it staccato, you can stretch it out. And there are several of these throughout the Hebrew alphabet. If the syllable is on the first or second, if the accent is on the first or second syllable, so then it's called mila'el, which means on the top, and it's pronounced softer. No, it's pronounced hard then, excuse me. So he could repeat that, but he wasn't getting it. So he went and he told his father, and he hates learning grammar. So he said, well, what's one of the problems? And he said, well, this top and bottom stuff, hard, soft. He says, well, the father said gave him an insight. He says, it's very interesting. When you're talking about the top, that's talking about heaven and spirituality. For that, you have to give a good hard look. But when you're talking at the end, when something that's milara on the bottom, that's talking about down here on earth, mundane pleasures. That you have to do soft. That you can't get so involved in. That's going to do it for us. Thank you for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. Hope you have a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. We're closing with Michal Zlotchover's Niggun, about which it says the Baal Shem Tov was one of his favorite songs. And he said, if you sing this song with tears, the Baal Shem Tov will come to you. So we'll see you back again next week. Take care.